Men want to be needed, okay? Matter of fact, need to be needed. They can stay with a woman who does not need them, but they will get their need from, they will get that experience somewhere else. He will get it by any means necessary. It's so vital, women, that you cannot miss this. You have to know it in order to give it. If you don't have that knowing in you, you cannot make a man, you cannot help a man to feel needed and valuable and prioritized if you don't believe it. Women, if you don't get this, say goodbye to a relationship, a healthy relationship with a man. It's that serious. Men, am I lying? If you do not get the appreciation, the respect, and the value thing down, say bye to a healthy relationship. And men are so tired of having to try to get you to see this. They're so tired of it because it shouldn't be that hard.
Hey, y'all. Welcome to Boundaries and Grace.
We're going to talk today about becoming emotionally available. Okay. I did an episode about this like 2 years ago, and we definitely need to run this information back. Okay. We need an updated 2.0 version on becoming emotionally available. We're going to talk about women who don't need men. Okay. We're going to talk about that and what that even means. We're going to talk about how to handle your single time. Okay. And also, disclaimer, I definitely do not work with just women. I have more male clients than any female therapist I know. I'm just going to say that right now. Okay, so this is definitely not just for women. Okay, men, you're going to get something from this as well. We're also going to discuss letting go, forgiveness, soul ties. And I think that's it. Let's do it. Let's talk about becoming emotionally available. Okay, it's a difference, but there's a distinct difference between wanting to be in a relationship and being ready to be in a relationship. Can somebody say amen in the chat? Okay. Can somebody please can you acknowledge that there is a difference between wanting a relationship and being in a position where you can actually sustain a relationship? Already, I feel like already this is good. It's a distinct difference. Thank you. It is such an important distinction to make, because everybody wants relationships. You got to be real with yourself. Everybody wants relationships. This is just how you're wired. This is how you're built. We are literally not made to be alone. This is not some new age thing. This is just human. We are made to be in connection, in relationship with each other, if not for romantic notions, for survival. For survival, you've got to be able to sustain relationships. Everybody wants relationships, but so many people, for plenty of different reasons, that's a layered thing, aren't prepared to be in relationships or don't know how to prepare to be in relationships. So I want to touch on that. Is that okay? Do y'all have any definitions of emotional availability yourself? Like, when I say, y'all know I'm call and response and I get a lot of energy. The more you give me, the more I'm going to give you. Okay. The more you give me, the more I'm going to give you. So Amanda, do you have a definition yourself? If you have any keywords, when I say emotionally available, what do you think of? Let me read this because this looks good. Rachel says, Taylor, you helped me to let an awesome man enter my life. Woo! 2024. Taylor, you helped me to let an awesome man enter my life. Learned so much here. Congratulations for your relationship as well. Rachel, thank you. Oh my God, testify in this church. Thank you, Rachel. And I'm so happy for you. That is so awesome. You have been around for a while. I'm so glad that you and him are having a really fruitful relationship and that it's feeling really good for you. Thank you for sharing that. Wow, what a good start. What a good start, okay? Does the emotional availability, y'all, I need some keywords. I need three different people to give me some keywords before I give you what I got. Okay, I got three people. Thank you. Burden free. Emotional availability to you means burden free. Okay. Emotional availability means transparency. Emotional availability means open to having clarifying conversations. Okay, Terry says emotional availability means open to giving and receiving love, open communication. It's good. Nikki says knows their own wants and needs. Okay, sharing. Oh, I love the participation. I feel like we're in class. Amanda says, able to communicate through conflict, willing to commit, willing to be vulnerable. This is good. This is good. I can tell the people that I've worked with individually, or I've met you before, and you got some good stuff because you've been working. Okay. There's a difference. Okay. Thank y'all for your answers. Those are good. Let me give you some things. I'm going to give you a couple key words. One, we've got vulnerable. Yes, Nikki, you're right on. You're with me. Vulnerability. I'm going to give you a couple keywords, okay? Vulnerability, which we've seen that. Okay, we saw that as well. Barat, ready to become vulnerable. So if you have your notes, write this down. Vulnerability. Generous. I saw some of that in there, like willing to give, willing to receive. Generous and receptive. Two different things, but related, right? Two sides of the same coin. We're talking about emotional availability, what it means. I'm going to give you a couple key words. We got vulnerable, we've got generous, and we've got receptive. Somebody be a TA in the chat and drop those keywords as you're hearing them. Will you help your friends out? Vulnerable, generous, receptive. How about this? Willing to compromise and collaborate. Ooh, that sounds sexy. I don't know. When I hear it, I don't know. That's what it sounds like to me. How about compromise and collaborate? How about that? You know, for my red pillars, I think if you use words like collaboration instead of cooperation, I think it has a little bit of a different connotation. Ooh, that sounded, I mean, I don't know. I'm too good at this. I'm too good. Does anybody hear that collaboration and cooperation have different connotations, but they're getting at the same thing? I think sometimes when people lead with cooperation, I think sometimes that's a little bit spicy for somebody. It's a little bit triggering. Thanks, Amanda. G-Mune, he says, or she says, I'm not sure, says a lot of them have been misused as means to leverage power. And you're exactly right. You're exactly right. Nothing wrong with cooperation, obviously, but when it's used to control, and someone else said that in the chat, when it's used to control, well, now you have a problem. You're not really talking about cooperation. You're talking about power. Okay. And some people need to get real with yourself, and you're trying to use words as a mask to disguise that you really want power over somebody, not power with somebody. Let me not preach today. Okay, but be real, because it's not only about the word that you use, it's the energy behind the word that you use, and it's your intention, and it's the outcome that you're trying to get, not just the words that you're using. Okay, yes, thank you, Nikki, for dropping that in the chat. Okay, we've got vulnerable, we've got collaborative, we've got compromise, we also heard generous, receptive, and all of this has to do with your attitude. Oh, yeah. All this has to do with your attitude. You know, kids get talked to about their attitude a lot. Adults don't get talked to about their attitude enough. I feel like I can just see the 60-second reels coming out of this live already. Kids get talked about, kids hear about their attitude all the time. Adults don't hear about it enough. Okay. We need to start talking about attitude. Anyway, all this has to do with the positive attitude, okay? An open attitude and an attitude that really primes you for positive, healthy relationships. So a couple keys on becoming emotionally available. A lot of y'all got too much going on. You are not an endless supply of energy. You are not an endless supply of you're not an emotional well that never runs dry, okay? You are not an endless supply of resources, whatever kind. I'm including emotional resources, intangible resources like your affection. I'm talking about your time, your attention. Those are intangible resources. It also includes things like money, space, okay? Like your physical space. You're not an endless supply of resources. And so when you've got a lot going on, like in other words, a lot on your plate, there is literally not enough of you to give to another person. You also don't have enough space in you to receive another person. Can somebody tell me if you're hearing me so far? We're talking about emotional availability. Is that fair to say? Now, we've got a lot of people who busy themselves out of fear of being by themselves, out of fear of their own thoughts, because the anxiety feels like it's too much. The silence is too loud. And so you busy yourself and you pack up your schedule and you always got somewhere to go and always got something to do, and your texts are backed up and you're always reaching back out to people and you're just always answering emails. And it's like you just never stop, because for some people, this is not everybody, but for some people, the silence is just too loud. And when you're by yourself, the reminder that you're by yourself is too overwhelming and upsetting. And so you pack your schedule up. Somebody be real. Somebody be real. Is it true or is it not true? If it's not you, has it been someone you know? Okay, so people got too much going on. Aside from literal things that you might have going on, like places to be and people to see, you might have too much going on in your emotional space. Like, you're taking on too many people emotionally. You're caring for too many people emotionally. Some of you are in caretaker roles, like for people who genuinely like have a need for it. And some of you are caretakers. Most people who are dysfunctionally caretaking are not doing it for people who are like elderly. They're doing it for people who can do for themselves, but won't do for themselves. And now you're stepping in and doing it for them, and you're drained, and you're not emotionally available for somebody else, not only to give, but also to receive. Somebody say amen. I know I'm preaching. Thank you, Allison. Hi, Allison. Am I lying or am I telling the truth? Rachel says that was me. She says that was her. Okay. Some of you got too much going on. If it feels uncomfortable to be by yourself, if it feels like you always have to have plans or you just don't know what to do with yourself, I'm talking to you. Stillness will attract, okay? And having space will attract. People are not finna run after you and convince you and persuade you to make space for them. That's an unhealthy person. Talking about applying pressure. I don't want to try it. But some of y'all using this applying pressure terminology, okay? And what you're implying is that somebody should push their way through your walls and push their way into your schedule and convince you and persuade you and show you that they're worth your time. That is an unhealthy person, okay? If somebody's like, I see that you don't have space for me, but I'm going to try to make it happen, you're talking about somebody that is overly reliant on your validation. You talk about somebody that wants to drink your affirmation for breakfast because without it, they feel starved. They cannot supply it on their own. Okay. They don't know how to source it any other way but through you. And some of you get a little bit of a power kick. I do not want to do this. I do not want to drag this. I got too many things to talk about today. But you understand what I'm saying? There's a difference, y'all, between having boundaries and having discernment. Of course, we need that. Having boundaries, having discernment, and making conscious decisions about who you let in your space. But when that's coming from a place of trying to, we were already talking about this earlier today, when that's coming from a place of trying to have power over somebody rather than a place of empowerment within yourself, you have a problem. Okay, I feel like I need some water. Stillness will attract, space will attract. So if you have too much on your plate and you feel like you cannot be by yourself, you cannot have any like dead space, and that feels uncomfortable, not because you're busy and productive, but because it is uncomfortable and anxiety inducing to be by yourself or with yourself, then you likely have an issue with emotional availability. And so taking some things off of your plate, it will be helpful. And learning how to be still will be helpful. Eliminate opposite sex energy. So if you are heterosexual, okay, this is a heterosexual thing, okay? If you want to be emotionally available for one person and you want them to experience you as available for them, whoever that person might be, you can't have all these other competing energies in your space. And you might need to do it for a year or two. I don't want it to be 2 years for you, but I think that you should. Let me give you just some practical advice. If that seems like it might be a concern for you, like you're a woman and you have a lot of like male friends or men who are interested in you orbiting around you, I'm suggesting that you commit to 1 year of cutting all of that out. If they're your friend, they'll be there after the fact. Let me tell you this, women, men want you to themselves. If they, come on, they agree that y'all are friends, or they agree that, you know, y'all are cool, that's your homeboy, whatever. He wants you to himself. He will not tell you that his presence is repelling other men because he wants you to himself. Even if he is in a relationship, let me put you on game, please. He can be in a whole relationship, a whole marriage. He knows that his energy, especially if it's consistent or it's significant, that his energy is repelling other men. He wants you to himself. He will not remove himself by himself. Women, you have to do it. Somebody, please. I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to help you. Do you hear me? Women, if you want to be emotionally available for a man and you have competing male energy in your space, that's your friend, that's your brother, that's who they are to you. To him, that's not all it is, okay? I'm not even saying he's trying to be with you for real. I'm not even saying he wants to be with you for real. I'm not saying he's thinking about leaving his person for you. I'm not saying that he even would date you for real. What I am saying is that he wants your energy to yourself, and he will not remove himself by himself. You have to remove him. And you can be friends, you might be able to be friends later, but if you're single and you want to be emotionally available for a relationship, you need to anticipate having a year, minimum, a year. Like, expect to have a year of no contact. I'm trying to help you. No contact. No contact. Don't answer the DM. I don't care. He knows why. He knows. The male friend knows that you need to have that space cleared. He's not even gonna be offended because he knows that he's taking up space. He's not really gonna be offended because he knows what he's doing. And he knows that you being smart by cutting him off and making space for what it is that you really want, who really wants to be with you. You cannot be worried about hurting their feelings because he's not worried about, your male friend is not actually concerned about you being in a romantic relationship. He wants your energy for himself. They said, no lies, making sense. Yes, it's the truth. Come on. So say it again. 1 year, no contact, no answer in the DMs, no answer in the, no. You're not meeting up for brunch. You're not doing no birthday dinner. No, none of it. Take my advice or don't. Take my advice or don't. Men, you want to be emotionally available for a woman. I'm talking about heterosexual relationships. Men who want to be emotionally available for a woman, you really got to pull your energy. Jenna says that's hard to hear. The no contact with the male friends. Hard to hear. Not hard for me to say. I'm going to tell you the truth. Not hard for me to say because I'm being, it's the truth. It's real. And you need to go ahead and do it right now. Commit. Open up that space. You need to essentially starve yourself of that male energy. You need to starve. I'm going to come to the men in a second, but I feel like Jenna just made me feel like I needed to say, she just triggered me to say this. You need to starve yourself of male energy, unless it's from like a family member. Period. Amanda says, you're talking in context of once you've committed to someone. No, I'm talking about becoming prepared to be committed to someone. Cut them out. A man, especially for the type of man that a lot of women want, he's not about to compete with all these competing male energies. He doesn't care if you've known him since the eighth grade. He doesn't care. There needs to be a clear, open space. I'm suggesting that a lot of you need to starve yourself of that excess male energy. Okay? Oh yeah, I'm not talking about with dating other people. I'm talking about like your platonic male friends. They're a friend to you, but he wants you to himself. He wants your energy to himself, and he will not remove himself. And he knows how men look at that. He knows it. Men know that. They know how men are looking at it. They know how another man's going to look at him if he were to come on the scene. He knows it, and he's not going to remove himself unless you do it. He's not going to be like, you know what? I really care so much about your future romantic relationships. I'll go. He's not going to do it. You have to do it. Okay. Men who want to be emotionally available for a woman, stop doing all these things like being somebody's boyfriend, husband, or stepfather to their kids unless you're committed to them. I don't care if that's your homegirl. I don't. If you in a season where you're trying to get it locked up, locked down, you got to stop. You got to save that energy. You have got to save that energy. What we say at the beginning of this, you are not an endless emotional supply. You do not have endless resources. So men need to pull that stuff back. You be somebody's step, you be their kid's stepfather, their husband, their boyfriend. And you do not have endless energy. Pull it back. Okay? I'm saying commit to doing that for a year. Clear it out. Starve yourself. Because men get energized by that. They love to be that. So you got to pull that back, and so that you can really, I want you to think about it. Just come with me on this. Does this make sense? That like, if you pull that back, it's like, a lot of people know what semen retention is. I'm not talking about semen retention. I'm talking about the principle of retaining yourself. The principle of retaining yourself. If you understand the concept of semen retention, I'm not talking about physically. I'm talking about emotionally. Retain yourself. Bring it on back. So that you are emotionally available and you are potent, emotionally potent. Somebody write it down. Emotionally potent. That is so attractive, men, to a woman. You're emotionally potent. You're not just spilling out and sprinkling out everywhere. You got boundaries and you got standards, and you're only doing that for one. And they're not there yet, but you're prepared. You're potent. You hold that energy. Retain. Maybe I need to do an episode about emotional retention. Retain. Y'all with me? That's right, Ruben. Boundaries and grace. Hey, Ruben. Okay, we're about to move on. Is that good? Does that make sense, y'all? Can you consider some of those things, please? Okay. Last thing here. You got to become emotionally available, process your past hurts. Now, this is about letting go. This is about therapy. Okay. Letting go of resentment, letting go of vengeance, letting go of anger from people that is related to people in your past. Okay. Again, there's a difference between wanting a relationship and being prepared for a relationship. If you are still actively engaged with someone else emotionally, even though they are absent physically, you are not emotionally available. You are unavailable emotionally. You're emotionally unavailable. Okay. If you are actively, I'll say it again, you're actively engaged emotionally and mentally to someone else from your past, you are not emotionally available. That means that you are unavailable. That's like the need for therapy and such, okay? I'll talk a little bit more specifically about letting go later, but I want to go ahead and move on to women who don't need a man. Okay? Women who don't need a man. I'm going to do another workshop on this. When I did the High Achieving Women's Workshop last year, I thought it was really, really good. I want to do something else like it. I just don't know the date. I'm not sure if I'm going to do it in March. At the same time, I don't really want to wait till April. So I'm in a little bit of a pickle. But this is what I'm about to say right here is just the tip of the iceberg. This is such a big problem. Women who don't need a man and who lead with that energy, It's a major issue. Now, there's so many layers to this. Like, one of the big issues here is that women tend to approach this thing very literally. Like, it's like, I don't need a man to survive. And so it's like, I don't need a man. I don't need him to survive. Like, I can live by myself. Yeah, like a lot of adults, like, you can do it. Okay? The point is the emotional impact you're having on somebody when you're leading with that energy of like, I can do it all by myself. Okay. A lot of men know you can survive on your own. They're not looking for a bum bitch. They're not actually looking for someone who would be destitute if they didn't have a partner. Men in the chat, is it true or false? Are you like, tell me. Do you want someone who would be destitute? Who, if they did not have a partner, they would be homeless on the street? I'm dead ass serious. Is that what you would prefer? Let me let the men say it, because I want to. Are you looking for someone who, without a partner, they would be destitute, homeless, hungry? You're looking for a bum? Sonny, I need another man to say something. Now, Toto says that I'm right. I need another man to tell me if I'm lying. Because women will take this thing so far. Men don't want a bum. They don't want a dummy. They don't want somebody that would be literally their survival is at stake without them. I need another man to say something. Tell me if I'm lying or if I'm telling the truth. Just put lie or truth in the chat before I go on, because don't let me lead you down the wrong path. don't let me make something sound better than it really is. Okay, thank you. No, we do not want a bum chick. Toto says you're telling the truth. Rachel says this I don't need a man thing is the biggest lie we tell ourselves just because we don't have one. Rachel read you on that. I did. That's not me. That wasn't me. That was Rachel. Rachel said, you lying to yourself, talking about you don't need a man because you don't have one. Rachel said that, not me. Okay, let's go into this just a little bit more. Women, men do not want you to literally be destitute without them. But that energy of without you, I'm cool. It's just, it's so dismissive and it's so invalidating. And if a man made you feel like that, you'd be like, oh, I deserve. That's all we gonna hear about is what you deserve. Is somebody talking about that you valuable and that you the prize and that you're the priority. If a man made you feel like without you, it's cool, you don't make a difference either way. You'd be in your group chat so fast. You'd be on the TikTok. Come on. Be for real. But you want a man to be okay with you being whatever about him. It's whatever. That's the energy of a lot. That's the energy. Some of y'all are not even this toxic aggressive type. That's for people that do internet stuff. But a lot of y'all have a it's whatever energy. It's whatever. It's whatever. And then when you're, okay, it really comes down to a defensive strategy. And I think Rachel really cut right to the chase that it's really more of a defense than anything else. Okay. It's really more of a defense than anything else. Why? Because I don't want to get hurt. Because if you knew how much you meant to me and how much I need you, that makes me feel maybe weak. Maybe vulnerable, exposed. I feel dependent on you, and for a lot of people, that is a threatening place to be. And so you lead with, "I don't actually need you." Okay. Shannon says, "Hey, Shannon, it's whatever comes from wounds not worked through and healed." Agreed. Okay. So a lot of so women, you really got to come out of like this, like the I don't need a man for survival, and acknowledge the things that you do need a man for. Okay. That you do. And I don't recommend that men sit around and try to get you to see it. I don't. You have to see it. You have to know it. You have to acknowledge what it is that you need in relationships so that you can have, you can lead with that energy authentically. How can I say this? If you don't actually know in your being what you need a man for, you can't fake it. I'm about to preach. You can't fake it. If you don't know in your being the value of a man in your life and in the world, I'm talking about men, period. If you do not know in your body who men are in general and their value in general, you cannot fake it. You can't fake it. That's why it doesn't matter if somebody tells you. That's why it doesn't matter if somebody runs you down a list. That's why it doesn't matter the article you read or the podcast you listen to. If you don't know it, you cannot fake it. This is where, this is the deeper aspect of chameleons. This is the deeper issue with chameleons that you hear about online. Cause they don't know it in their body. And if this sounds foreign to you, I want you to call me. I'm dead ass serious. I want you to call me because the truth is, big T truth is that men are valuable and significant and important, not because he's your man, because he's a man, okay? And because it's a truth, if you're not experiencing that, I feel like I'm preaching today. If you're not experiencing that in your body, in your mind, and in your heart as the truth, it's not that you can't experience it. It's that there are some layers over top of it that are preventing you from seeing it. Because men are valuable and are significant and are important as a truth, if you're not experiencing that in your body, woman, it's not because you can't experience it. It's because there are some layers on top of it that prevent you from seeing it and experiencing it. Hello? I feel very passionately about this. I feel very passionately about this. Jenna says, amen, I'm triggered, but I'm listening. Thank you. This is good. It's good. I'm glad you're here. Okay. I feel very, very passionately about this. Are we on the same page? Are we all together here? Are we all together here? Now, then the question would be, right? What are those layers that prevent me from experiencing a man like that? Now, that's a therapy thing. And also something that I plan on discussing in the workshop that I do for women who have trouble with this. Okay? So women who don't need a man, you got to come out of, you need to be able to really know like who a man is, not just as an individual, but as a being, like who are men and like what is their value? And how you relate to them. You also need to be able to come out of this, like out of the survival thing that when men want to be needed, okay? Matter of fact, need to be needed. They can stay with a woman who does not need them, but they will get their need from, they will get that experience somewhere else. Men, am I lying? It's so vital that you can't miss it. Women, hear me. It is so important that a man feels needed in your presence, that he has the experience of having a permanent position and value to you, that it's so needed that he will get it by any means necessary. He'll get it. It's so vital, women, that you cannot miss this. Okay? It's not a cherry on top. It's not a Valentine's Day situation. It's not on his birthday. He needs it like air. Men, please tell me if I'm lying. Tell me, please. I'm trying to tell you the truth, okay? And women miss this for a lot of different reasons, for a couple big reasons, okay? I am saving it, yes. G Mune says, as a man, the women who say that they're triggered but listening, he is acknowledging that and he is applauding that. Isn't that good? That's good, right? I'm triggered, but I'm listening. And G Mune is acknowledging that and he applauds you for it. We need to be able to all sit in the same space and be able to hear the same truth and be able to come to mutual understanding so that we can resolve some of these disconnections, okay? So men need it, not a cherry on top, not Valentine's Day, not birthday. I'm talking about consistently. And you, again, you have to know it in order to give it. If you don't have that knowing in you, you cannot make a man, you cannot help a man to feel needed and valuable and prioritized if you don't believe it. All right. So men need to feel, they need to feel respected. They need to feel appreciated. They need to know that they have a permanent position in your life. Yeah. Or at least that you see them as that. Okay. Women, this is the last thing I'm gonna say, because if you don't get this, I cannot emphasize this enough. Women, if you don't get this, say goodbye to a relationship, a healthy relationship with a man. It's that serious. Men, am I lying? If you do not get the appreciation, the respect, and the value thing down, say bye to a healthy relationship. You can get a man that's gonna be with you or do whatever with you, but it's not gonna be a healthy relationship. Am I lying? So if you don't get it down, when I say you're done for, I actually mean it. Like, I'm not exaggerating. And men are so tired of having to try to get you to see this. They're so tired of it because it shouldn't be that hard. It really shouldn't. And it's no, if you're having a hard time with this as a woman, we can help you with that. But the reality is it just shouldn't be this hard. It shouldn't be this hard to give it. It shouldn't be this hard to see it. It shouldn't be this hard to lead with it. It shouldn't be. And that's what men are frustrated about. Okay? It should not be that hard. G-Mune says, a lot of people have been socialized to see men as just another resource, not a human being. Absolutely. So anyway, where was I at? I got off track because I just get so fired up about this. Oh, yeah. I mean, that women, you got to get this down because if not, you're done for. Okay? Can't emphasize it enough. Needs to happen as quickly as possible. Y'all, after this, we're going to talk about how to handle your single time. We're going to talk about letting go, soul ties, forgiveness, and self-awareness. A couple more things on the women who don't need a man. It's interesting. This is kind of like a little sidebar. I don't know, a little interesting thing. I think that it's interesting that women will be like, it's like, I got to make this money because if I don't do it, nobody else will. Okay. But what's interesting is that right when we talk about, oftentimes, right when we're talking about, okay, well, now that you got the, if you were hypothetically, now you got the man and then you're pregnant or something, or you just got a man, okay, you just married. Then all of a sudden you want to take a break from that job you're fighting so hard for. That doesn't make any sense. How you want to take 2 years off with your 2-year-old, with your 0 to 2-year-old, you want to take 2 years off of work, but you fighting to keep the job right now, but you won't make space. You won't dial back on work right now. But when you get a man, then you want to stop working. Then you want to, you want to dial it back to part-time. How you fighting so hard for that job? When the job, the first thing you want to give up. Come on, y'all. Now, this is where I start to get, let's be for real. Let's come out of even therapy coaching, but let's be for real. That don't make no sense. That doesn't make sense. Women, are you hearing me right now? How are you fighting so hard to get the money, and the money, the first thing you wanted to cut when you get the man or the child? What? What? So you need a man to have to live the life that you want, but you won't create the space to get that man. But then, and then when you get him, you want to, I don't understand it. It don't make any sense. The math ain't mathing. That's why it don't make sense when I try to make it make sense, because it doesn't. I need women to talk to me right now. Do you hear me? Because men know that this is the facts. I don't even got to ask them, am I lying? I want them to validate the man side, because I don't want to speak for the men, and I don't have a man to say she's right, okay? But women, do you hear me? You talking about, you refuse to dial back on the work right now, but when you get the man, the first thing you want to do is stop working. It doesn't make sense. It's irritating, really. A man that y'all talking about, because there's this particular type of man that the women typically want, okay? And I'm talking about character. We're not even going to get into the money part, okay? Because a man with good character is never going to let you starve and be destitute. Okay? So the type of man with the character that you're talking about, that you want, is not going to compete with your boss, with your job. It's crazy. Okay? Anybody, women, have any questions about that? I recommend you start dialing back now. I mean, before the man comes, look and see how you can dial it back. You probably don't need to be at everything. If you're really a corporate ladder climber, okay, or whatever. Maybe you're not corporate, but you're an entrepreneur. You really on the grind. I recommend dialing it back right now and see how that feels. Dial it back. You don't need to be going on every single vacation, all those trips that your single lady friends are going on. You don't need to go on all of them. Why? Because when you get with a man, he's going to take you on them. Facts or not? Gentlemen, chime in. True or not? Women, you don't need to be saving up all this money, then spending it on all these vacations with your single lady friends. You just don't. A lot of women, I got to do a whole thing on women and their friendships, because a lot of women will just be trying to keep up with their single friends, and it'll just suck you dry. It's just suck you dry. Have you working overtime trying to save up money to go to Turks and Caicos with your six girlfriends? So you working extra to keep up with your friends that want to go to the steakhouse as a group every other week. Come on, dial it back. Relax. A man will do it, okay? A man will do it with you. But a lot of you got so caught up, so many things spent trying to keep up with your single lady friends. Does anybody see that connection or no? Or am I the only one that sees it? Am I the only one that sees that actually happens? You're trying to get the same material things that they got, trying to keep up with them. And how that relates to the way that you work, and you working overtime, and you working trying to for them. I don't think that's a good strategy, y'all. I'm trying to tell you. Devos has agreed. Anybody else have anything to say about that? Last thing on the boss babes, the women who don't need a man. Then what I'm going to do is stop this live and I'm going to start a new one, because this one's almost, I think we're almost at like an hour on this one. I got a couple more things to talk about. Okay. Women who struggle with the I don't need a man thing. There's usually a wire crossed. I'll tell you what that means. Usually a wire crossed between where you are and where you want to be. This is the last thing I'm going to say before we move on. crossing a wire between where you are and where you want to be. When you are talking to a man, interacting with a man, even when you are making your dating app profile, when you are speaking from the energy of the woman who takes care of everything on your own, you are repelling healthy men. So you gotta be able to get in the mental and emotional space where you do need and want, desire a man. When you, I'm gonna say that again, because I feel like I gotta say it again and slow it down. Okay? You can be totally sufficient on your own right now. Again, we talked about this at the beginning of this little segment. A man wants you to be self-sufficient, AKA not destitute and a bum when he pulls up on you, okay? You can be that, but don't lead with that. And don't bat somebody over the head with that. Okay? He expects that you are doing adult things, like you have a job, you have transportation, you have a place to live. He expects that. At least a man that's not a bum himself, he expects that. So when you lead with like, well, I don't need you to do this, that, and that, that's like, it's just irritating. And you got to get, again, in the mental and emotional space where you are communicating from the place of this is what I do need. Without you, I couldn't do this. Without you, I couldn't dial my work hours back. Without you, I couldn't be at home with the kids. Without you, I can't have the kind of family life that I want. Without you. Without you, I couldn't have this. Without you, I couldn't have that. The issue usually is that someone is they fear being in that position, and so they can't present that way authentically. Does that make sense, ladies? Men, does this make sense to you as well? As to why that's a difficult thing for women to do? I'm not saying deal with it. I'm just saying, does it make sense? Women, does it make sense that you need to be in the mental and emotional space of this is what I do need? And stop crossing the wire between where it is that you are and what it is that you want. Okay. Makes sense. Yes, yes. All right. Oh, and by the way, I know that I got this woman, this female friend thing, like on my mind, like on my heart. I'm gonna say this last thing. Ladies, if you got women that speak like, you know, I don't need a man stuff. Talking about what do men do? Men ain't this, men ain't that. Cut them, full year. Commit to cutting them. Cut. I don't want to hear it. Cut. Get them out of there. Don't keep them close to you. Not while you're trying to get this stuff together. And then once you do get in a relationship, you need to have some really strong boundaries with them. Women, please, do you hear me? If you've got friends talking about, I don't need this, I don't need that, men ain't this, men ain't that, and you are trying to get into a healthy relationship with a man, cut those women out. No more Hennessy margaritas. No more hookah. No more hookah for you, Sally. None. Yes, Norris, please. Thank you for asking. Absolutely. Norris is in Africa and he wants to chip in. Go ahead. Yeah. Love to hear what you have to say. Women, you women, hello. I'm not seeing anything from y'all though. Some of y'all got some friends like that. Men know I'm right about this. I don't even got to ask them. I know I'm right. It's women that are, I don't know, in the dark about it, in denial about how much of a problem that really is. Women who are in relationships or who are ready for relationships do not naturally get along well with perpetually single women. They don't. So if you get, if you're a woman that you get along with, like people who are close to you are perpetually single, that's because that's you. That's because it's you. You've been trying to book a session, DM me and I will give you what it is that you need. Okay, y'all, here's what we're going to do. We're going to exit out of here because this is a very long live and I don't want it to be more than an hour on my page. I'm going to start a new live about how to handle single time, letting go, soul ties, forgiveness, and self-awareness, okay? And then we'll be out of here. All right, how to manage your single time when you are not in a relationship, when you're just waiting around, okay, to be in a relationship, it's quite unattractive and your energy is just like in the dumps. And what I think that people have a lot of misconceptions about is that they're gonna be able to just snap on to like positive, happy, emotionally available, ready to go when the right person comes along. No, you practice like you play. Somebody please put it in the comments. You practice like you play. Please don't think that if you've been raggedy with yourself, and you think that in the grocery store, if you run into Mr. or Mrs. Charming, Prince, Princess Charming, that you're going to be able to just, and all of a sudden, like it's all of a sudden. No. You practice like you play. It's, you need to be ready. On contact. Somebody say on contact. Come on, church. You're warm now, aren't you? Somebody say on contact. On contact. On impact. If somebody pulls up on you, Prince, Princess Charming pulls up on you, you ready to go. Some of y'all just, it's in your head. You mentally, you there. But in real life, we don't experience you as ready. So thank you. On contact. Okay. Keep a routine. I'm gonna start with a couple basics. Will you keep a routine? Keep a routine. I've been talking about this for 3 years straight. We're going on year four, I think. Routine. Okay? Be doing something with yourself on a regular basis. I'll give you a couple ideas, okay? Something for self-development. Are you in like a coaching program, a group coaching? Are you reading a book? Read a book. Don't just listen to it in the shower. Read it. And you know what reading does? It helps to slow your brain down. A lot of y'all is so much. You get notifications from Twitter or X, whatever the hell. You get notifications from Instagram. You so this way and that way and do TikToks and stuff. And your attention, y'all, your attention is so valuable. Your attention is so sexy when you're able to focus it. Okay. And sometimes you need to practice being focused and potent in your energy. Read a book. Sit down, open it up, and read the words on the page. I'm so serious. I'm not playing. I'm not being funny. Slow yourself down. Get a book. And I recommend that it's something of that. Like I like to do too. One nonfiction, and now I like to do, I don't really like fiction too much, but I do it to get out of my nonfiction brain, okay? Like I got a book of like, there's like short stories and stuff. Like it's stuff to just keep different parts of the brain moving, okay? By the way, y'all know like dementia and Alzheimer's is real, right? Like you got to work your brain. I'm serious. Like some of y'all got grandparents, come on. Let me be so serious right now. Some of y'all got elderly people. Dr. Don was talking about the elderly, okay? Some of y'all got elderly people in your family suffering from dementia and Alzheimer's. I'm sorry to be triggering, but they really not working that brain and they hadn't been, okay? And some of y'all need to get serious about it and work your brain. Please read a book. Comics is doing something, Brian. It's something. I recommend an actual book though. Something to help you develop. Help you develop. Jenna likes to bring her reading in public, cafes, parks, love that. And reading a book like at a bar, come on, it's very attractive. It's very attractive. It's a really good conversation starter, okay? Let me see. Whisper Boy Official said, focus on becoming someone you want to meet. Yes. And when you meet him or her, you'll recognize him or her. Absolutely. I love that. I love that. I love that. I'm gonna sit on that for a second. And then I'm going to give you some more specifics about what you can do in your single time. Okay. But I love that. You don't have to worry. Trust me. I need you to just trust me on this. You don't have to worry about convincing them that you are for them, because who you are will say enough. They'll know you when they see you. They will know you when they see you. They will know you when they will recognize you when they experience you, because you will match. You'll match, and they're already looking for you, and they're already aligns with you. Your energy is naturally compatible. There is so much less work that you have to do when you stop focusing on what they're doing and trying to hunt for them. You get yourself together, and when they see you, they will know who you are. Whether that turns into a romantic relationship is a different question, because you need chemistry for that. Okay? Ideally, you need chemistry for that. You can be compatible with someone without chemistry. That's a different conversation. I think I'm going to do a whole episode on the difference between compatibility and chemistry. It's two different things. Okay? But when it comes to your compatibility, which you need compatibility, because that's glue. Okay? Those are the things that, like, you value. That's like the main thing, right? The things that you value. Like, those, that's like your core. Your core will match with their core when you focus on developing your core. Okay? What are your values? Are you living those things out? When they see you, they will know you. They will be and you will be attracted to them. The conversation will be easy. The time's gonna fly, and it will happen very naturally. Everybody wants to talk about organic. That's how you get organic connections, by focusing on developing your core. Is y'all hearing me? I say, is y'all hearing me? I think I'm about to say two different questions. Y'all hearing me? They will. Thank you, Whisper Boy, for bringing us there. Because his I told you, the more that y'all give me, the more I give you. So his comment brought me there. Okay. Literally, by being more of your, truly, I mean, this is going to sound so self-development-y. This is going to sound so Oprah-y, but it's true that the more you focus on being your best self, the more it's like a natural filter. It's like a natural filter. You become more potent, and the things that aren't for you will fall away much more naturally. And things that are for you will be attracted to you much more naturally. Okay? When they see you, they will know you. They will recognize you. Okay? And you to them. All right, let's go back to the practical part, okay? Keep a routine. Have a routine. Because this is about how you care for yourself. This is about how you are directing your resources throughout your day. Okay? And it's attractive to be a whole person. Dr. Dawn's comments. She says some people are pretending to be whole when they really aren't. It's attractive to actually be a whole person. And having a routine develops that, develops your character, literally your individuality. Who you are is what you do. So when you do not consistently do anything, you are inconsistent or erratic and chaotic, that's coming through. Okay. Anna, if you have a question, can you put it in the question box? I'm going to come to that. I don't want to lose it. I don't want to get off track, but can you drop it in the question box? Keep a routine, y'all. A couple other things, right? So do something that is related to self-development. Read a book. Recommend. We already went over the little book thing a little bit, slowing down your mind, actually reading a physical book. Make a list. This is what I recommend that you do. Make a list of 5 books after we get off of this call. 5 books, and buy them all at once. Get them all now. If you're not in the habit of being a reader, okay, make a list of 5 books. And if you like nonfiction, I need you to have at least 2, or rather, if you're like a fiction person, I need you to have at least 2 nonfiction books on there. That's to do with like self-development, something you want to learn. Okay, make a list of 5 books and get them all now. All right. Something that you need to do, something that involves your physical health, working out. You don't need to be doing CrossFit, but if you like to walk, walk regularly. If you like to swim, swim regularly. If you like group classes, do it. There's things like where you can get like ClassPass. A lot of people have heard about ClassPass at this point, where for cheap, you can try different group classes. It's also a good way to meet people. Hello. Do something that involves fitness, not here and there. If you know that you only like to hike 3 times a year, hiking does not count. Okay? You need to be able to, you need to do something consistently that involves health. Get a hobby. Some of y'all haven't had a hobby since middle school. You think hobbies are for people who just fly drones in the park. You need a hobby. A hobby. Something that you like to do. I love to ride my bike. I consider that, and I like to, it's like a hobby, and it's like fitness, like it's like a little bit of a both, okay? A hobby. I was on puzzles for a little bit. I like doing a little puzzle. Slows down the brain. Makes total focus. That's also how I feel like when I'm riding my bike. Does anybody have a hobby in this thing? Can you drop something if somebody's like, I don't know what, because I for a while did not know. I was like, a hobby? Like, I don't even know what that would even be for me at this point. Does anybody like to do something, or they wanna try something? Shay says she wanted to look into a hobby. She was thinking about finding a pottery class. Love that. There's a place in Atlanta called Mudfire, and you can actually get like a membership there, and you can go in like, and they give you a certain amount of clay per month, and you can just go in whenever and make whatever. And that's something you might do. Cooking, love that. Tennis, love that. Adult coloring book. She likes art. I like that. Great. Bake. Love it. Cook. Art museums. You could get a membership to an art museum. Like here in Atlanta, they have like jazz nights and like other Friday night things where they're doing cocktails out there. Okay. Ooh, roller skating. That's cool. Salsa dance lessons. That's good. Love it. Swimming. Okay. Look at all this. This is good. Pottery, painting, gardening. How about that? Get a plant. Learn how to garden. Okay, this makes you a more whole, developed person. Nature photography, love that. Y'all, this is good. I love this. Dance classes, awesome, awesome. Great. So hobby, and you know, it doesn't always have to be the same thing with like a hobby, it can be different things, right? But things that you're interested in, that you're actually engaged in, it makes you more of a whole person, and it stops making you so dependent on someone else to create the life that you want, because you already doing it. Listen, I gotta take you here really quick. People get into some bad situations when they're bored with themselves. People get into some bad situations when their own life is unfulfilling, and then you just attach to people all willy-nilly. Because you're looking truly to be saved. Men and women do this when they're unfulfilled themselves, when your life isn't interesting enough, when you don't know how to make your life interesting enough on your own, and you're looking for somebody else to make it interesting. You're looking for somebody else to make it fun. When you actually are able to do that on your own. Yes, our relationships enhance our lives. They do. But if you waiting around for somebody to come and pick you up out your boredom, you a problem. You're a problem. Okay, and you're going to get into some weird stuff, okay, to put it simply. Ooh, pickleball, cool. So, okay, we got a lot of roller skaters in here. Jimin says, I love coaching and I have a vinyl collection. That's cool, that's a cool hobby. See, stuff like that, like you, and then you can invite somebody into what it is that you like, and they get to see different, you get to like show somebody a part of you. Okay, take them to a record store, you know. I like that comment. Drink More Water says, you don't have to be super good at it. Just do it to enjoy. Absolutely. I love that. You do not have to be an extraordinaire, right? But just to do it. Like, I'm not really a good painter, but it's just something that I like to do. All right. This is good. All right. Yeah, Monique, that is an aspect of codependency, like to be kind of like, to think my life can only be, like, basically, you're my battery. You're my life source. Okay? So I like the conversation about hobbies, y'all. What about making candles? Y'all ever try to make candles? You know, they got candle classes, cooking classes. Take a class. and go by yourself. Go by yourself. Okay? And learn how to enjoy your own company. That makes your, that energy is very attractive. The people who aren't attracted to people who like themselves are unhealthy people and weird, they're weirdos. Okay? So you want to like yourself, because people who also like themselves like people who like themselves. Like people. Okay? Candle classes are cool. Oh, y'all make candles as a family? That's cool, Dr. Don. I looked into the equipment for this, stuff like that. I was like, whoa, a lot going on. I love that. Okay, y'all. I just like the hobby conversation. So fitness, hobby, self-development, keep a routine, a book, make a list of 5 books. Is anybody reading a book? Let's give some people some ideas before we move on to the next thing. Last thing I'll say while you all are putting your books in the chat, learn how to make a meal. If you don't normally cook for yourself, I'm not even going to get on you. But learn how to do it, or learn how to make something new. I saw a lot of cooking in there. But if cooking isn't your thing, man or woman, this is in your single time, it's a good time to learn how to make something so that you can, you know, whip it up. You know what I mean? You whip it up. You'd be like, I know how to, you know, there'd be one thing. It could be one thing that you know how to do really, really, really good, you know? And, you know, you play that little card. You know what I'm saying? Play that. You know? You want to have a go-to. You want to have a good go-to. Okay. Yeah, Brian, playing an instrument. I got a keyboard in my closet. It was out, but it was just the spacing was just weird for me. But yeah, I learned how to play an instrument. That's cool. Okay. What are some other books, y'all? We've got Atomic Habits. I was thinking about that. The Garden Within. That's Anita Phillips, right? Anna? Let's see. Brian gonna teach his women how to make his meals. That's good. Dear Sanai, okay. Marry Him. The Case for Settling for Mr. Good Enough. Okay. Woman Evolved, Sarah Jakes Roberts. Terry is reading the Thursday Murder Club series. Okay, cool. Cool, cool, cool. I don't know what that is, but all right. Ishmael by Daniel Quinn. I just love conversations like that. It just feels healthy in here. Y'all, I just feel like we just having a healthy conversation. It's nice. Isn't that nice? And I'll be talking about a bunch of toxic, weird stuff. I personally enjoy it. So I think I want to start like a healthy club, like just, you know, healthy, just talking about healthy stuff, like reading a book, you know, like, hey, did you go for a walk today? You know what I mean? The Human Magnetic Syndrome. Okay. All right. Okay. Ooh, Bell Hooks, All About Love. Yeah, that's a good one. Shay is also reading The Garden Within. Mm-hmm. The Demonada. Ooh, interesting. Brian got some interesting. Okay. All right. Dare to Lead. Brené Brown is daring greatly. I don't know who Dare to Lead. Who's that by? Dare to Lead. Is that Brené Brown? Did she do another one? I don't know. Wow, I really love y'all's hobbies. I love the book ideas. Y'all scroll up, get some ideas if you don't know what you should be reading. Okay, I see some good ones in there. Learn how to cook a meal. All right, let's move on, y'all. We're almost done. Let's talk about letting go, soul ties, forgiveness, self-awareness. I think that was it. That was it. Okay, Brené Brown. Mm-hmm. Forgiving what you can't forget. Monique, let's go there. So a question that was submitted was like, how do I forgive? How do I let go? Linking this back to emotional availability, y'all. If you are holding on to grudges, okay, you're still mad. You're not emotionally available. You are still, I want you to remember this. If I am mentally and emotionally engaged with someone else in my past, I'm not emotionally available for my present. Okay? Mentally and emotionally engaged. That includes things like being actively resentful, angry. Okay? Because these things are going to get in the way. Essentially, it's taking up your emotional space. Okay? That's all. So how do I actually like let go, and how do I forgive? sometimes people want to skip to just like forgiving and the letting go part. And I'm really big on actually going through the process of it, which means that you have to feel the feelings that you have about it. If you're angry, you're going to have to feel it and digest it, process it. Okay. That's where things like therapy comes into play. Journaling, being real with yourself about how you really feel, even if it was 10 years ago. Okay. 20 years ago, 30 years ago. Okay. It's better to be real about, like, I still feel charged about it than just being like, oh, it was so long ago, it shouldn't matter. If it matters to you still now, it does. Now, should it? No, we don't want it to, okay? But a lot of people get caught up in, and I shouldn't feel this way, and so I don't actually deal with the feelings. Am I right or wrong? Because I feel like I should be over this, I try to bypass. I call it putting a bridge over troubled water, y'all. Okay. The water's still troubled. That's your emotions. Okay. The water's still troubled. But you try to put a little bridge over it. Like I shouldn't be, I shouldn't feel this way, but you do. And so it's important to be able to make contact and actually get into the water, digest it so that we can actually move through it. Okay. In a healthy way. So my quick tip on that is to not try to skip to forgiveness, but to go through the process to actually get to forgiveness, okay? Dr. Dawn says, that's right. Dr. Dawn is a trauma therapist. Check her out, y'all. Follow her. Dr. Dawn, will you drop your podcast in the chat so that people can take a screenshot or go on and make sure that you all subscribe to Dr. Dawn's podcast, okay? She's our resident trauma therapist. So go through the process of forgiveness, letting go. The question that was also wrapped up in this submission was soul ties. And are soul ties real? First of all, we have to say this. There's no way to prove that a soul tie is real. So what does that mean? It means that for so many people, soul ties are as real as you make it. Another way of saying that is we got some people that think that they're more stuck than they really are we got some people, it might be you, who thinks that you're more stuck than you really are because you believe that your soul is attached to somebody in the past as if you can't move on. Is anybody hearing me? We cannot prove that a soul tie exists or not. So sometimes it's truly, I would dare suggest that a lot of the power of a soul tie is in what you make of it. It's in you thinking about my soul. That is so, you know how deep that is? Talking about your soul, this intangible, unseeable, invisible life force in you is literally tied to another person. That is so, y'all, be for real. Be for real. We just over-spiritualize stuff so much. And it almost sounds romantic. And it almost sounds soul tie. Your soul attached to... Y'all, some of that, a lot of that, I want to say all of it, but I don't want to make it... I don't want to put an absolute on it because I don't want to invalidate someone's experience to that degree. But I do want to say that there is a lot of that experience that is your emotional attachment and it's what you're mentally thinking. That your soul is attached to somebody and it's almost like there's nothing I could do about it. Or it's gonna be this big, heavy lift and it's my soul and my life is attached to somebody in the past and what am I gonna do? And now you're flying out to Arizona trying to get people to chop cords off of you that you don't even know actually exist. Be for real. Be for real, y'all. You doing a whole ayahuasca retreat. You going to Peru. Be fucking for real. You thinking about you got to go to Peru and be led on a spiritual journey to try to get yourself away from somebody that you might be able to just go to. You could go to therapy. I don't want to invalidate anybody's experience. I don't want to say it's an absolute that something definitely does or does not exist. I'm not in the business of making those kinds of extreme statements. But I want you to be for real. Yeah, y'all know those retreats. You got to go. You trying to find those energetic you kind of go to Arizona, you like, you. I just need to get into one of those, what are they, a vortex. Like, just did, let me get into a vortex that's going to take care of it. You know how much of that is like a placebo effect? Matter of fact, you don't know. And that's the problem. That's the whole thing. You don't know how much of that is a placebo effect, that you just, that it's the action of getting rid of it that helps you to get rid of it. What if you made this not a whole soul tie, but an ex? What if you made this about your unhealthy attachments to people who were emotionally available to you? What if it wasn't this infinite part of you is somehow wrapped up in somebody from your past? What if you said, no, it's not. No, the hell it's not. I might have felt that way. I might have thought about it like that. But my whole soul ain't tied to you, dummy. I'm sitting in here doing meditations, thinking about invisible cord connections. Now, listen, I've done that shit. And I believe that there's absolutely something to the what you make of it in your mind, and being able to, in a way, like conceptualize that kind of emotional experience that you've had with somebody. And it helps to, in my opinion, make it visual, and in a way it feels more tangible. So I'm not even acting like, you know, I've sat right in that with a little blanket, been like, let me cut this cord. Let me get my whole life tied up, and I need help from the atmosphere to help me to do. Look, if that helps you, okay. But do I think it's real? Not necessarily. And my thing about the soul tie thing was like, does it matter? Well, I think that you can make it a lot less intense by handling it in more of like a more of a rational way. Brian says, I think a lot of what we consider spiritual can be explained with science or logic. With soul ties, I think it can be tied to the consequences of being your most intimate with the person. Yeah, I agree. Amanda, and I'm gonna come back to that. I think Amanda says, I laugh because I've done them too, not for the purpose of releasing a soul tie, but thinking my healing was dependent on this thing. Yeah. And you can get kind of, and that can be restrictive, right? When it's like, if I don't cut this soul tie, I'm going to be stuck in this like karmic loop forever. No, the hell you're not. But if I tell myself that enough, yes, the hell I am. Now suddenly I'm in some karmic loop that I can't get rid of unless I enter into a spiritual vortex in Arizona on an ayahuasca retreat, vomiting my soul out, trying to release this invisible connection. Now suddenly it's that real. Anyway, I don't want to keep going down that rabbit hole, but I think y'all understand what I'm saying. Okay. A lot of these things can be really tied to like unhealthy attachments. Okay, unhealthy attachments. Trauma bonds. I saw somebody mention that trauma bonds, connections between that person and your mother, that person and your father, repeating patterns that were from your childhood in the present. I think that soul ties, this whole idea of soul ties has made it much more spiritual than it actually is. Again, since no one can prove it right or wrong, I would go with the one that you have more control over, not some like, anyway, it's my opinion. Brian mentioned something I think is important. So a lot of us can agree on, right? Whether you agree or with soul ties or not, or believe in them or not. I think what a lot of us can agree on is that when you are emotionally exposed to someone and physically exposed to someone, that will increase the connection that you have with somebody. If you want to call it a soul tie, have at it. But I could just call it attachment. Okay? I could just call it sex or intimacy or desire. Okay? So, you know, what I recommend, and I went on a whole thing about this, and I'll probably keep talking about it all through this year, just about protecting yourself physically and emotionally and being more discerning and conscious about the decisions that you make about who you let into your space physically, emotionally, and mentally, so that you don't have all of these excess attachments and emotional drains between you and these people that aren't actually committed to you and aren't actually sticking around. Because that's going to be painful and problematic for anybody, regardless of your spiritual beliefs. Okay. I think that's really it. I'll say this one last thing about forgiveness and releasing things. Sometimes you have to do it in iterations. What somebody is to you in one season of your life can be different than what that same person represents or is to you in another season of your life. And so I want you to allow forgiveness to be more fluid, less of like a discrete moment where it's like, I've forgiven you and that's it. I never think about you again. I never feel anything about you again. And more of like, I'm forgiving what I'm able to reorient to that and say, I'm forgiving what I'm aware of in this at this time. I'm forgiving what I have the capacity to forgive at this time, and then allowing it to happen in iterations, okay, as you go. Because in 2011, that ex, that was a different forgiving than I had to do in 2020. Same person, different aspects of like what I needed to forgive or what was coming up for me in that particular season of my life. Okay. And so allowing forgiveness to be more fluid so you can give yourself more space. And it's not like I have to, if I don't complete this, I don't think forgiveness is like this. It's usually not on the first try that it's like this complete thing. There's nothing else to do about it. Okay. So I think that you just need to be more flexible with forgiveness and allowing it to happen as it comes. Allow yourself to do what you can in that season and get everything you can be aware of, everything that you have the capacity for. And then as you go, if something comes up, let's do it again. And you're going to have more emotional control as you get better at like that you're going to be able to choose. You're going to be able to choose to release. It's not like you won't let me go. I choose to let you go. Whenever something comes up about you, I know how to do it so well because the muscle is so well developed that I don't fear the memory of you or the emotions that come up in me about you because I choose to release you. You don't have a hold on me. I realize I'm holding you. And what I realize that I'm holding, I choose to let you go. However I need to do it at whatever point in time. Okay. Wow. This was good, y'all.
All right, y'all, that is the episode. Thanks for listening. If you have not followed and subscribed on YouTube, I'm there now. So you can watch the video of full episodes. If you have a moment or two, could you leave a review? It's really helpful. Or just click those stars. If you'd like to work together one-on-one, there is a link in the description of the episode. You can also go to my Instagram, I am Taylor Chandler. Click the link in the bio. You'll find the one-on-one form there. I'll see you next time.